First Kings chapter 17. While we will be considering Elijah's stay at the brook Cherith, we will look upon verse 3 as our text for this evening. There in verse 3, the word of the Lord had come to Elijah saying, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." Before giving their children names that are found in the Bible, it would be a good idea for parents to take time to check out the meaning of those names. Some very attractive names in the Bible do not have a very attractive meaning. We would all agree that Cherith, or as people today pronounce it, Cherith, but the Bible pronunciation is Cherith. We would agree that Cherith or Cherith is a very pretty name. And many parents have given their daughters that name. I'm sure you know of some woman or some young girl, and they're called Cherith. Even though it is a place name, as I say, you probably know someone who bears that name. Now, what does Cherith mean? Well, Cherith means a trench. So while the place name is attractive, the meaning is not just as attractive. But most people wouldn't know the meaning of the name Cherith, so there's no harm done. The name itself appears only twice in Scripture. Both references are here in our reading that we give tonight. Cherith was a brook that ran down the middle of a valley east of Jordan in the land of Gilead near Jericho. This was a very inhospitable place. As one commentator put it, and I quote, "No spot in Palestine is better fitted to afford a secure asylum to the persecuted than this valley." Describing this place, the commentator goes on to say, quote, "On each side of it extend the bare, desolate hills of the wilderness of Judea. In some places it is not less than 500 feet deep and just wide enough to give passage to a streamlet to run through it. The banks are almost sheer precipices of naked limestone and are here and there pierced with the dark openings of caves and grottos." And it was to such a place that the Lord sent his servant Elijah, following his appearance before Ahab and the statement that he made before Ahab. The Lord sent Elijah to this place called Cherith. As we have described briefly tonight, a very inhospitable place. Yet that is where Elijah was sent. We want to consider Elijah's time that he spent at Cherith. Now, one is first of all to look at why Elijah was led to the brook Cherith. After having appeared before Ahab, perhaps in the king's palace. The prophet would soon find himself in very different surroundings, as we have already described. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. What we have here, first of all, regarding why Elijah was led to the brook Cherith, is the steps of Elijah. Whatever Ahab thought of Elijah's statement, the prophet left him to make his way to the brook Cherith. First of all, we have the word for the prophet. No sooner had Elijah spoken those words to Ahab, telling him there would be no rain for a number of years, we read, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. There's the word of the Lord for Elijah. We could simply say the reason why Elijah went to the brook Cherith was because the Lord's word came to him and directed him there. After his meeting with Ahab, Elijah perhaps wondered, What do I do next? I've delivered the Lord's word to Ahab, now what do I do? The word of the Lord came unto him, saying. The prophet did not turn to the left hand or to the right until he received a word from the Lord. He had appeared before Ahab, he had delivered the statement, he had delivered to Ahab the Lord's word, and then Elijah waited until he received the word from the Lord. And believer, when we find ourselves in situations where we don't know what way to turn or what to do next, that's the time we do nothing. That's the time we do nothing. In such situations we say to ourselves, oh, I need to do something. But really that's the time we do nothing. Rather, like Elijah, we wait until we receive a word from the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. You see, the Lord's word will always have something to say to us. The word of the Lord spoke to Elijah. And we can see that Elijah's steps were ordered by the Lord. Look how God's servant lived by the word. We read in verse 2, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Look at chapter 18 and verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying. And whatever the Lord said to Elijah, by his word, Elijah obeyed. You see, he lived his life by the word. That way, Elijah would not go astray. Elijah's steps would not slip. Elijah would not get lost. Sometimes we're traveling somewhere, you've been traveling somewhere and you've got directions from some friend of yours and they've told you go here and go there, turn right and turn left. And you followed their instructions, but somehow or another you didn't arrive at the destination that you wanted to. You didn't understand their instructions or they didn't give you the right instructions. I remember the first time I went across the border to preach in our church in Corrigarry. I had no idea where Corrigarry was in the south of Ireland. And I was given directions but got completely lost. Stopped in a little town called Drum, a little village. And asked for directions. Do you know where the Free Presbyterian Church is in Corrigarry? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned the Free Presbyterian Church in the south of Ireland. But I asked where the Free Presbyterian Church was in Corrigarry, and this man gave me directions. Well, I followed his directions and I still didn't find the Free Presbyterian Church in Corrigarry. Service started at 11:30. I didn't get there to 12. But in things down in the south of Ireland move a little slower than they do in the north. And I remember arriving at the church, and there all the men were standing out at the gate, just standing, talking and yarning. And I was all apologetic. I remember saying to the brethren, I'm very sorry for being late, but I asked for directions there in Drum, and the man sent me the wrong way. And one of the brethren says, oh, they would do that all right. And they certainly sent me the wrong way that day. The Lord will never send us the wrong way. If we live by the Lord's word, the Lord will always lead us in the right way. Psalm 37 verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I was talking to one of our ministers recently, and he was preaching in that text. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And I asked him, well, how do you interpret the last part of the verse? He delighteth in his way. Does that refer to the Christian, or does it refer to the Lord? Oh, I never thought of that. Well, really, you look at those words, you can apply them both ways. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and if we walk in his ways, that will delight the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and if we walk in that way, that will delight us also. We'll be blessed as well. Elijah's steps were ordered by the Lord. That word ordered there in Psalm 37 means to set right. Steps of a good man are set right by the Lord. Gee, you couldn't wish for anything better than that. Our steps are set right by the Lord when we live by his word. The word came to Elijah, the prophet. And then you have the way for the prophet. For us, the Lord's ways are past finding out. But at the same time, we can say with David, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Sometimes the Lord leads us in a way that we don't understand. And we cannot fathom. But the way of the Lord is perfect. We should always remember that. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, telling him to go down to a valley. Go down into a valley. And there go to the brook Cherith. Now he has just stood in the king's palace. Now the Lord is ordering him down to where the brook Cherith ran, down into a valley. And sometimes the Lord will, by his word, lead us to places that make us wonder why. You see, the battle with Ahab had only just begun. The battle with Baal worshipping Ahab and his wife Jezebel had only just begun. And yet the Lord tells Elijah to go away to the brook Cherith, some obscure place, and hide there. On the face of it, that doesn't make any sense. But remember, as for God, his way is perfect. And dear Christian, when the Lord leads us in a certain direction by His words, and that way we don't understand, but we still go in that way because the Lord has told us to, and because His way is perfect, then we just simply accept it. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Elijah's steps were ordered by the Lord. And isn't it interesting too that the Lord led him down into a valley? None of us like to be in spiritual valleys. We always want to be in the mountaintop. Elijah would have his time on the mountaintop on Mount Carmel. But before he got to the mountain, he had to go down to the valley. And so, believer, when we're in the valley, remember there are mountains there. And the Lord will sometimes lead us into valleys, as he led Elijah to the brook Cherith. And then I notice not only the word for Elijah and the way of Elijah, but also the willingness of Elijah the prophet. No sooner had the word of the Lord come to Elijah than he obeys. Look at verse 5. So he went. Mark the words. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Once more we see how Elijah lived his life in accordance with God's word. The word of God was the standard by which he lived. He didn't set his own standard, it was God's standard. And I notice his willingness. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. There was a wonderful willingness on the part of Elijah to do the Lord's bidding. He went down into the valley without a word of complaint. He went down into the valley without a word of chiding. In fact, the whole time he was at the brook Cherith, and it may have been, commentators differ in this, but could have been from anything from 4 to 6 months. The whole time he was at the brook Cherith, and that time is recorded here in these verses we read tonight, there is not one word recorded of anything that Elijah said while he was there. There you have his silence. No complaining against God. No criticism of God. No chiding with God. Instead, we see a man completely submitted to the will of God and a willingness to live by the word and do as the word had commanded him. Even though God sent him down into a valley. And God said to Elijah to turn and go and hide himself at the brook Cherith. He didn't tell him how long he was to be there. Elijah had no idea how long he'd be there. But still, he went, and he went willingly. As we often sing, down in the valley with my Savior I would go. Where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow, everywhere he leads me, I would follow on, walking in the footsteps till the crown be won. So Elijah walked in the footsteps that the Lord had set out for him. Steps of a good man are ordered or set right by the Lord. So you have the steps of Elijah, and then you have the shelter for Elijah. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The Lord took Elijah away from the action. And we know the kind of a man Elijah was from what is recorded in Scripture. Elijah was a man of action. And here the Lord takes him away from the action. But that doesn't mean to say that he was out of action. Not at all. He went to Cherith because God sent him there. And in taking up his abode there, perhaps in some cavern, he was still serving his master at the brook Cherith, as he had served him in the palace of Ahab, and as he would later serve him on Mount Carmel. He was still very much in the service of the Lord there at the brook Cherith. Here is a word of encouragement. Sometimes as Christians, we imagine that the Lord can only use us if we're involved in public service. If we're out there in the mission field or standing in the pulpit or engaged in some full-time work for God. When Christians are challenged about working for Christ, some may become despondent. Because through no fault of their own, they're not in a position to publicly work for Christ. Maybe because of some affliction. Maybe because of age. Maybe for some other reason. They can't be out there before the eyes of the public serving God. But that doesn't mean to say they're out of action. They can serve the Lord wherever they are. Like the dear old Christian lady that I heard about who was confined to her home. She was bedridden. But what she did every day, there in her bed of sickness, was to go through her list, her prayer list, to pray for everyone on her list, missionaries and ministers in full-time service. She may not have been in the midst of the action before the gaze of the public. But she wasn't out of action. She was still serving the Lord at home. You turn, please, to 1 Samuel, and we have a perfect example of this very truth. In 1 Samuel 25. In verse 13, and David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. There were 200 men who were not able to go with David to the battle. But does that mean they were not active for David, their king? Well, you go over to 1 Samuel 30. And David has returned victorious. And he returns to the 200 men who abode by the stuff, who stayed behind, who were not out there in the battlefield. And we read in 1 Samuel 30. In verse 21, and David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them, the 200 who abode by the stuff. And there were some of David's men who had been in the battle with him, thought that the 200 whom they remained by the stuff shouldn't receive any of the spoils of the war. If you look there in the verse 24, then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. Verse 23, verse 24, for who will hearken unto you in this matter, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike. In other words, the people that remained by the stuff received the same reward as the men that went out to battle. David came back and he saluted them. They had done just as good a job remaining by the stuff because they were so faint that they couldn't go to war. And Elijah was still serving the Lord at the brook Cherith, as he had served the Lord in the palace of Ahab. And we can serve the Lord wherever we are, even when we are faint. We don't need to be in the eye of the public, on the mission field, in the ministry, or in Christian education, whatever the field of service may be, we can serve the Lord at home. If we can't go to these other places. Next, I see the solitude of Elijah. In ordering the steps of a servant, the Lord led Elijah to a very lonely place. The brook Cherith. There's nobody else there. While he was there, he didn't have any contact with anyone. I thought of Elijah being at the brook Cherith, and he never even had contact with the other prophets. Obadiah's prophets. You remember the prophets that Obadiah was hiding and feeding and caring for? Elijah didn't even have contact with them. That's a big loss. When you're not able to have fellowship with those who are laboring in the gospel. That was a lonely place for Elijah. There was Elijah alone. That is, alone with God. But then that's the way the Lord intended it to be. For this time alone was a time of preparation for God's servant. Before a great work that Elijah was going to carry out for God, and seeking to turn the people of the nation back to the worship of Jehovah, God had to prepare his servant first. God will never send any of his servants out into the field of service without first preparing them first. That's why we have the Whitfield College of the Bible to train our ministers and our missionaries. That's why we have the Geneva Reform Seminary to train our ministers and our missionaries. They need to make preparation before they go. Before he led Israel out of Egypt, Moses spent time alone with God. Where? In the backside of the desert. And of John the Baptist we read, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. This was before the people came out to hear John's preaching. And before he went forth to prepare the way of the Lord, he spent time alone with God in the wilderness. He communed with God in the wilderness. He had to spend time there before he went forth to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Likewise, Elijah, God had to prepare his servant, and he did so there at the brook Cherith. You find yourself, believer, in some solitary place, maybe laid aside on a bed of sickness, maybe some other reason, and you're alone, you're left alone. Make good use of that time, for the Lord may be preparing you for something greater. Why Elijah was led to the brook Cherith. Next we notice what Elijah learned at the brook Cherith. In preparing his servant for the work ahead, the Lord had many things to teach Elijah. The first lesson he learned was about God's place, being in God's place. You look there at verse 4. He has been sent to the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Elijah needed to be in God's place, the place where the Lord would send the ravens to feed him. Notice, God was very specific. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. He had to be there. If he had gone somewhere else, possibly would have starved to death. He needed to be in God's place to know the blessing of God, to receive the provision from God. If Elijah wants to experience the great miracle of how God fed him and have his meals provided for, then he must be in God's place. And remember, the battle was only beginning. There was a great work that lay ahead for Elijah. And so Elijah needed to learn certain lessons, needed to learn certain things. And here was the first one. He needed to learn that he must be in the center of God's will for God to use him. And being at the brook Cherith was the center of God's will for Elijah. If we are not in the center of God's will, we cannot expect God to use us. We cannot expect to see his power, his miracle working power. For Elijah, God's will was there, at the brook Cherith. Sometimes the Lord may lead us to a very barren and desolate place. It was the will of God to lead Philip to a very barren and desolate place. God told Philip to go on to Gaza, which is desert. Imagine that. Preaching in the city of Samaria, preaching to the great crowds, preaching to the multitude, seeing souls saved. He was in the midst of blessing. And yet God sent him to the desert. The desert was God's place for Philip. The desert of Gaza was God's place for Philip because there was a man there that Philip needed to reach with the gospel. It was there that the Ethiopian eunuch was saved. Had Philip not gone there, had not obeyed the word of the Lord, had not been in God's place, in the center of God's will, he would have missed the opportunity leading that man to Christ. And then we see that he learned something about God's peace. The Lord sent his servant to a very barren and desolate place, and Elijah learned all about God's peace while he was there. For we read that he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Those words reveal to us God's peace that Elijah enjoyed. It says that he went and he dwelt by the brook Cherith. The word dwelt is a word that means to sit down or to sit still. Didn't know how long he was going to be there. He was going to be there by himself. No contact with anyone but the Lord. We don't read that Elijah went there and paced up and down, wringing his hands, wondering, how long have I to stay here? Instead, we see he had God's peace as he coped with his circumstances. He coped with the circumstances of being alone, being in this place of isolation, with nothing but a bird of the air and the water in the brook to sustain him. And yet we're told he sat down and he sat still. You see, believer, Elijah had perfect peace because he was there in the place that God wanted him to go. He was in God's place. He was in the center of God's will. And since he was in the center of God's will and he was in God's place, Elijah knew, God will take care of me. So he had perfect peace. Elijah knew what Paul spoke about when he said to the Hebrew believers, be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now that just sums up Elijah, doesn't it? Be content with what you have. When you think of it, Elijah was well fed. Bread and flesh and water to drink. He was better off than many others in the land whenever the drought began to bite. God was taking care of his servant. And as Paul says, don't be afraid, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Elijah enjoyed God's presence. And he said to Timothy, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. God's provision. Why would he worry? That's why he was able to sit down and sit still. They enjoyed God's peace to cope with the circumstances. And then I was thinking, he knew God's peace to cope with the criticism. You think of it. Elijah has just gone and told Ahab, there'll be no rain these years. But according to my word, and then Elijah left him. Went away and headed the brook Cherith. Now can you just imagine the fury that arose after that, especially whenever days came and days went and there was no rain. Where's that man Elijah? And they would begin to criticize him and said, oh, there he came and he told us there'd be no rain, and then he ran away. He went away and hid somewhere. What kind of a man is that? I have no doubt there was a great wave of criticism against God's servant. And what was God's servant doing? Nothing else but serving God and doing his will. He was criticized. I have no doubt condemned. And yet, he went to the brook Cherith, sat down and sat still. He had the peace of God. You know, believer, when you have the peace of God in your heart, you'll not worry what people say about you. Over the years, I've seen men go out and do work for God and seek to spread the gospel, and there have been other Christians have risen up and criticized them. Sad state of affairs. Here's Elijah. Criticized and condemned, no doubt. And yet he is sitting still. As peaceful as any man could be. He is the peace of God which passeth all understanding. The Lord was criticized a lot. The Lord was condemned a lot. But Peter informs us when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And believer, we enjoy that peace that came to us through the blood of the cross. Peace of God which passeth all understanding. He also learned about God's provision. How was he going to be fed? Sitting by a brook in some desolate part of the land. And God said that he would feed him by the ravens. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord, who knows our circumstances and knows our needs, will meet those needs, and very often he'll meet them in a very amazing and extraordinary way, and in a way that we look not for. He fed Elijah using ravens, according to the law, an unclean bird. But Elijah wasn't eating the bird, but he was eating the food the bird brought. No harm in that. That's not breaking the law of God. But is this not a most unusual way to meet the need of a servant? God will always supply our need according to his riches and glory. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Elijah trusted the Lord. And ravens fed him. Reading a story lately about an incident that happened many years ago of a man who was very poor. He had a debt that he could not pay. He was sitting outside his little cottage one day, and he was sitting there waiting for a police officer to come and take him away, lock him up because he hadn't paid his bill. And he was sitting there for that event, waiting for that event to take place, and suddenly he heard a bird singing. It was a little bird, and it was just fluttering above his head. And he was arrested by the sweet note of this bird. And he listened for a while, and it flew around him, and suddenly it flew in through the open door into his cottage. He followed the bird into the house, and he was able to capture the bird, and he put it in some kind of makeshift cage that he had, and he listened for a while to this beautiful song that the bird sang. As he was in his house listening to the bird singing, a knock came to the door. He thought it was the police officer. Instead, a stranger stood there. And the stranger said, "I believe you have a bird in your house. May I see it?" And the man brought the bird out to him and showed it to him. The stranger says, "That bird belongs to a person whom I serve. And she thinks a lot of that bird. Would you mind giving it back to her?" And the man said, "Certainly not." And he handed over the cage. But half an hour later, the knock came to the door again. It was the stranger. It was the servant of this rich woman. And the stranger handed the man, who lived in the cottage, a sum of money. And the stranger said, "That bird belonged to my boss. And she thought a lot of the bird, and she's so glad to get it back again. Here is her reward." The stranger went away. And the man in the little cottage looked at the amount of money. It was the exact amount that he needed to pay the bill. God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Have you ever experienced anything like that? Or you've been in the straits of despair and you wonder how you're going to get this paid. And God comes in a miraculous way, in a way that you didn't look for, and meets your need. Isn't he good? Isn't God good? And finally, he learned about God's punctuality. Look there again at verse 5. "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Glory to God, Elijah never missed a meal. Morning and evening. Morning and evening. The Lord was never late with the meal. The raven never arrived late with the bread and the flesh for God's servant. Isn't God good? You know, sometimes we pray for things and we don't see an answer immediately, and we think God has forgotten. No, he hasn't. The Lord will answer that prayer according to his time. And we will find that his time is perfect. He's never a day or a month too early, or a day or a week too late. He's always on time. Elijah learned these lessons as he spent that time there at the brook Cherith. And we learn along with Elijah that we have a great God Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, we bless and praise Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee indeed that we have a great God, for our God is the God of Elijah. We bless Thee that He is one who will meet all our needs. And O Lord, we thank Thee for how Thou didst care for Elijah over those days and weeks and months. How Thou didst supply the manna from heaven for the children of Israel for 40 years. Truly, Lord, Thou art good. And here we are, well clothed and well fed. We thank Thee for how Thou dost care for us. Lord, may we rejoice in Thee this evening as we leave the house of God. And write Thy holy word upon our hearts. May we meditate upon it. When we find ourselves, Lord, by the brook Cherith, help us to remember Elijah. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.